Thank you all for being here this morning. Hello? Check. I'm writing checks. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus. I'm looking here and you guys are looking up there. Maybe he looked like that, maybe he didn't, but I think it's a good picture, a depiction of Jesus. And he said the scripture is fulfilled. Now, we can look at God's holy word and say, you know, Jesus did this and Jesus did that. Wasn't Jesus great? We don't apply it to our lives and we don't say, Jesus, what's that in it for me? Obviously, this is the time of the season for people to start focusing a little bit more on the birth of Jesus, which is a great event and was a fabulous and miraculous event, but just a small portion of what he brought to us here on this earth. Jesus said in the passage this morning, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So I ask us this morning, how fulfilled are you in your life as a child of God? I ask myself the same thing. Do you feel fulfilled? Do you think you're fulfilled? How are you doing today? Got to ask multiple times every morning here. How are you feeling? How are you doing? I'm fulfilled. I've been working on saying I'm saved, because I am. But I'm going to try and start saying, well, I'm fulfilled today. Well, how are we fulfilled? Jesus said today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I ask us this morning, are we fulfilled this morning hearing those words of Jesus? Let me ask us this morning, I know this is Jesus, but let's see if I'm following him. If I'm going to follow Jesus, is the Spirit of the Lord upon me? Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Has he anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor? Has he sent us to heal the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and a recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord? Now is the time to follow Jesus. Now is the day of salvation. Are we fulfilling God's plan in our lives? He's not planning on me being a millionaire. I know that now. Okay? Because his word says, man should be a husband and one wife. I'm not going to have a harem. Okay? There's just simple things, folks. People, I don't have a desire to have that, even though God says not to. Okay? Let's make it that straight. Trouble in enough day, not wife, but you know, folks, but am I fulfilling his plan for me in my life? If each and every one of us were to be preachers, what would that lead for the rest of us? Does that make sense? But can each and every one of us preach the gospel to the poor? Can we share the good news with those that are poor of heart? Those people that, now I'm just talking about going to the beggars and those people on the street corners. Most of them aren't poor anyways. They're poor in spirit. The people that need Jesus to tell them about how fulfilling he is. I love going to football games. I love watching football. But it doesn't fulfill me like Jesus does, like gathering together with you folks. Folks, I ask us to examine ourselves this morning, that is Jesus and his holy word and his promises and his love and grace and mercy fulfillment in your life? Are you looking for fulfillment somewhere outside of that? Folks, money is temporary, God's holy word says. Physicalness is temporary. Self-gratification, temporary. The fulfillment that comes in Jesus is eternal.
It's sustaining.
It's not prejudiced either. Not like we are. Well, we're going to look at some passages this morning pertaining to being fulfilled in that way. Have you shared the good news of Jesus with somebody that was downtrodden? Have you tried to heal somebody's broken heart? You notice it didn't say fix. Okay? It said heal. Have you told people there's freedom in Christ? Have you helped people that are blind to righteousness? Blind to the sin in their life that's killing them? They don't know that sin is killing them. And they just need somebody to help them, set them free. To tell them, today's the day you need to start following Jesus. Today's the day you need to turn that over to Jesus. And we as Christians, I've been a Christian over 30 some years. I still, each and every day, have to say, I've got to turn that over to Jesus. On the way up here to worship with you, brothers and sisters and friends this morning, I said, I've got to turn it over to Jesus. I need your help. Every time I get up here and speak, folks, I need his help. I open my heart. Remove the things that would hinder me from not being fulfilled and from not glorifying you. And it's the same thing that, and he works the same way in our lives each and every day. Is today the scripture fulfilled in your life, in your hearing? Does Jesus fulfill you? And if not, I plead with you to soften your heart and open up to him. Don't harden your heart. In Luke chapter 24, it is written, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you have. See, I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Everything. I'm not just going to pick and choose one part or the other, Jesus said. Everything you've read points towards me. Here's what happens in our lives. Why are you troubled? Do you include the whole Word of God in your life? Or do you pick and choose? Do we pick and choose? I like that's my favorite. I'm going to do that. That's a little too hard. Not today. And then we would end the day up saying, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't thought that. I wish I hadn't said that. But it's we ourselves and our own personal choices that keep us from being fulfilled. Because God says, here I am. Jesus said, follow me. Jesus said, do these simple things. And Jesus said, peace to you. Peace to you. We talk about this time of the year being season of peace and joy and love, and we see that those things written all over. And I'm glad they're reminders because they remind me too. But not peace and love and joy as the world thinks, but as Jesus and God the Father who created us thinks. We struggle in our minds, well, why would God do that? We talked about it in Bible class this morning. Why would God do that? How many of us have questions in our minds and we'd like to know, God, why did I have to endure that? Why is that person doing that? Jesus knew the hearts and souls of all those people, and yet he loved them. He forgave them. He cared about them. He prayed for them. Same things we can do today to be fulfilled in helping those people. Some of us, and I struggle with it, I hate to say, I want to be just like God, because I want to make sure you think just the way I want you to think, Brother Tom. And Brother Ed, I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing. And Brother Brad, I'm going to tell you everything you're doing wrong. I'm going to have to spend some time with Brother Brad in order to do that, right? And he's probably going to turn around and say, hey man, don't you love me? Don't you forgive me? Where's Jesus in your heart? And that application works with us, even with our children and our grandchildren and our co-workers and our strangers that we meet. Fulfilling the law in our lives, folks, is loving a neighbor as yourself. We're going to see that in the passage. John, it is written, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, my joy, fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. That the scripture might be fulfilled, that my joy fulfilled in themselves, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Jesus said, I have given them your word. I ask us this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, how fulfilling is God's word in your life? Does it sustain you? Does it guide you? Does it help you? Does it uplift you? Does it encourage you? Does it convict you? Does it open your heart? Or does it make you harden your heart? We know there's multiple examples, folks, about hardening your heart. And we all struggle with hardening our heart towards certain people, certain politics, certain teams, certain things. It does, folks. That's us. But God's word teaches us to be fulfilled. We shouldn't be that way. Jesus said that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What kind of joy did Jesus have when he was here? Was it joyful for Jesus to say, you whitewashed sepulchers? Was it joyful for Jesus to sit down with Judas knowing that he was going to fall and fail? Was it joyful for Jesus to walk in and see those people trading and selling and worrying about money and all kinds of things except for worshiping God in the temple? Examples for us that we should recognize what is expected and what God wants. How can you love the God and Father in heaven when you're deciding you're going to make some money off people at church? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we can't share like and sell and trade, okay? That's not what Jesus did. He said there's a time and a place for everything. And you need to know what God expects of us and you. And I'm going to show you. Get out. Put me first. Kind of what he was saying. Do you love me? Put me first. Those people, the money changers, weren't putting him first. They put something else first. His joy was fulfilled in preaching the good news and teaching people about himself and teaching people about the love of God. Same thing with us, folks. We can, through love, teach other people how to follow him and obey him. How do we sanctify each other? Do I sanctify Brother Bob? Well, the blood of Christ sanctifies us, right? Okay? What's Jesus talking about here? Sanctify them by your word. He's praying to God the Father. Okay? Your word is truth. Without fulfilling ourselves with the word of God, folks, it's tough to remain under the sanctification of the blood of Christ. If you don't know what Jesus wants you to do, how are you going to follow him? How many of us watched a YouTube video, how to learn how to do something? Oh yeah, see? Whether it's changing a piece of glass out in our window, or changing brakes, or how to do it on a house, or a recipe maybe. You know? Whatever, folks, that we utilize that resource to do. But I ask us, do we use God's holy word as a resource to fulfill ourselves? To guide ourselves, to find joy. I got that joy down in my heart. Where? In front of the TV, at the ball game. No. Don't get me wrong. God created us to enjoy life and have fun. But that should not take precedence, folks, over Jesus, over his holy word, over God that saved us, over our eternal life, the spiritual realm. Did I have joy in my heart when Weibo won the state championship? You bet. Is that going to sustain me anywhere as the way Jesus would? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But back to my original, when we go to learn about things, to do things, do we go to Jesus to learn how to do things, to mend our relationships, to learn how to forgive, to learn how to talk to our boss, or maybe not say anything to our boss, as I've learned. Unfortunately, that takes me many moons to say, you know what? You just don't say that to the boss, even if you are right, or you think you're right. That the scripture might be fulfilled. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble at one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now, If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith is made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. If you really fulfill the royal law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You know, when I read this passage of scripture, preparing for a lesson, mercy triumphs over judgment. For me to be fulfilled in my life, I'll give you a simple example. When one of my grandsons do something incorrectly, I think it's incorrectly. Okay? I want to pronounce judgment, and I want to show discipline immediately. Unfortunately, I do that sometimes. Sister Hannah? Yes. Even as a grandparent, I'm supposed to let everything slide, right? No. But as a child of the Most High God, I should show mercy over judgment. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean we eliminate discipline or responsibility. But it helps us have a perspective that judgment isn't the most highest priority. Mercy triumphs over judgment when you are doing things through love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If my neighbor wrongs me, do I go pronounce judgment upon him and tell him what he's done wrong? Or just forgive him and love him and keep on going? And what kind of wrongs has my neighbor done to me? I don't know. Some I do, some I might not. But to apply my walk of life with Jesus, our walks of life, that we shall love our neighbors ourselves. Folks, how many of you wave at your neighbors? How many of you turn the other way when one of the neighbors drive by? Because you got an issue with them. I had an old dog, his name was Buck, and he never touched our trash, but he got in the neighbor's trash. And the neighbor sent me a letter, told me, I know it's your dog. Keep your dog home. He was just an old farm dog, free range dog, you know, for you. He was a free range dog. He was a good dog. And I really didn't think that he'd done it, but you know, they probably had pictures, probably. So I work more on containing old Buck. Old Buck passed away. Neighbors moved away. I could have went down there and beat on that door. Did you write this letter? You didn't sign it. I want to know who did this. Who said this about my dog? To love my neighbors myself. I don't want my trash strewed all my... I thought a dog got in my trash this week. My wife tells me it's a cat. So now I even have more justification for being on. Folks, to put things in perspective, love our neighbors as ourselves. Don't let physical things get in the way of telling somebody about Jesus. of being a good example
about Jesus.
I could have went down there and beat on that door, and I've never went down and knocked on their door and invited them to church, but I was going to talk to them about that letter they sent about my daughter.
I didn't do that.
I took it to heart. I said, I guess I'm going to have to do something. And I'm sorry that it happened. We all have opportunities in our lives, folks, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't mention it. It wouldn't be mentioned in the scriptures, folks. It's tough sometimes. You know, those of you that get Lebanon paper, somebody wrote an article in there, a farmer put mud on the road. And it was I hate that person because they put mud on the road. And they hate everybody because they put mud on the road. And somebody just wrote a letter back this week. No, all farmers put mud on the road. That's just the way it happens. Maybe you ought to stay in town where you belong. We as Christians should never go to that extent, folks, in our lives. We may be angry. I know I got angry. When I wash my vehicle and it's nice and clean, I drive down the road and there's somebody blows their grass all over the road. So the grass comes up and sticks on my car. I'm like, don't you know how to mow your lawn? Blow it back away from the road. I forgive people. I'm telling you, every week, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Huh? It's even worse when I had the Camaro, because, you know, the Camaro. Folks, there's all kinds of things in our lives that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves and forgive them as we go about. So it's accounted to us for righteousness, not only just to think it, but to do it. To act on the things we know we should be doing. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But faith working through love, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment. Whoever he is, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Not only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. It's not easy loving your neighbor as yourself sometimes, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. But it's fulfilling. It is fulfilling the law. It is really fulfilling love that Jesus brought and taught us that we should have in our lives. Our last passage this morning comes from Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Fulfillment. Fulfilling the law, fulfilling all righteousness, loving one another, loving your neighbors, yourself. Like us, as we close this morning, ask ourselves, is the Spirit of the Lord upon me? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, are we sharing the good news of Jesus? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the day to say, Jesus, my Jesus, I'll follow you. To bring peace to you. My joy is fulfilled. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a need this morning to put on your Lord baptism, have your sins washed away, and become a Christian, and have eternal life, we invite you this morning to do that. If you have a need for the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we plead with you to come as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.